5:07 in the Fast Lane. Your time check brought to you by Clarkson Jewelers, an officially licensed Rolex jeweler. Big Sis, BT, Ronj, and Randy, great to have you with us in the Fast Lane on 101 ESPN. We need your text for the Hot Shots text line 65780 for a game of Take It or Leave It that's coming up in a moment. Before we get to that, though, finding the right city to expand to is a tough job for a professional sports league. How do you know you pick the city that will support the team and represent the league in the right way? Today, MLS Commissioner Don Garber told Kevin Wheeler that some of the other sports commissioners actually gave him some advice on picking the right city.
The commissioners, we don't spend a ton of time together, but all the league's offices in New York are very close to each other. So Gary Bettman's a guy that I know well, and I've been around him a long time, and we have a lot of NHL owners in MLS. And when he was expanding in St. Louis, I mean in Las Vegas, I said, Gary, how do you know it's going to work? He said, because every time I get to any event, they boo me. So they must really know and care about the NHL. So.
That makes sense.
Yeah, it's passion, right?
Yeah.
There's something to that, I think.
Adam Silver's not getting booed, though, is he?
Not really. I think Adam Silver is pretty well.
He's got it figured
out. Respected and liked.
Yeah.
Good for him.
During training camp, the nearly cash-strapped or cap-strapped Dallas Cowboys have been negotiating with holdout running back Ezekiel Elliott and quarterback Dak Prescott and wide receiver Amari Cooper. Today, they reached a multi-year, multi-million-dollar contract extension with linebacker Jalen Smith. Take it or leave it, one of the other guys won't get a contract this year because Smith did.
Hmm.
Wow.
I think it might be Amari.
Amari, Zeke, or Dak?
Yeah.
Talking about one of the. I don't think Dak's going to get one anyhow. I think that he's too far. I'll take
40
it.
He's not going to get 40.
Yeah, that's not happening.
No. He gets some time. I'll take it. Did you take it?
I think I took it.
Okay, I don't know.
Yeah.
All right, yeah, my turn.
I guess I didn't say anything.
Well, I don't know.
Sorry.
Well, no, you probably did. You probably
I
did.
I don't know.
All right, so we've been having a little conversation today, it's been, are you on Team Sunshine and Lollipops or Team Absolute Negativity? I am on Team Sunshine and Lollipops. That's me. Kind of been there for a while. Randy, you happen to be on that team
as well, I think.
When it comes to the Cardinals. Ron, you're on the other team, which is totally fine. I mean, everybody can pick which team they want to be on. I believe Ron's team colors are just black on black on black.
It's a sharp look. If you see the Tampa Bay Lightning uniform?
Mm-hmm.
That was a good one.
How'd that work out for them? Anyways,
that game, I think they won. I don't know.
Anyways, with that in mind... and I'm thinking more on the negative side of thing. Take it or leave it. There are people that are going to watch the game tonight. The Cardinals have won 9 out of 11, all right? Michael Wacha is on the bump. There are going to be people watching the game hoping Michael Wacha fails so they can bitch about the trade deadline.
Take it. 100%.
I'm going to take it, too.
Leave it.
I'm taking it for sure.
I don't think they want it to happen, but if it does happen, they will be ready to bitch.
I think that people have their tweets ready to send out. They're just all it's a draft. It's ready to press send as soon as he gets ran out of that ball game, and they'll be upset that they won't get to use their fire if, in fact, he has a decent game.
There are a very small percentage of people who are Cardinals fans who are actually rooting for them to lose. Very small.
All right.
Give them more credit than that.
Okay.
You know, Antonio Brown has been in the news a lot lately, and not for the best reasons. We all know the helmet stuff that's been happening. But also, he is being sued by a celebrity chef, Stefano Tedeschi. I believe I've pronounced his name right. He's a celebrity, but I don't know who he is. At any rate, he was hired by Brown to cook for Brown and his friends. A $38,000 tab that he was supposed to have done this. Well, what happened was a fish head was in the freezer, and Antonio found it along with his friends. They were for some reason looking into the freezer, and they found this. And they thought it was some kind of mob message, you know, like the Godfather horse head in the bed.
Yeah, it's when you're going to get whacked or offed or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or both.
Yeah. Never know what a fish head means.
So anyway, they threw it out, and they did not pay him because they thought he was sending them some sort of message.
Ooh,
yeah, just like this.
In the freezer. You know what that means.
Well, that's an offer. He can't refuse now, I guess.
Off you.
$38,521. Take it or leave it. Antonio Brown can wear whatever helmet he wants as long as he pays this man back.
Yeah, I'll take it.
Well, I'll leave it. He's going to have to wear one that's... The league says it's okay, and he should pay this man back.
That's probably true. It's just occurring to me. Did we do this story earlier in the week?
We did. Yeah, earlier last
fish
week.
Was it last week?
Yeah, not with the fish
okay,
head.
I knew
just
it
with
sounded him. Familiar.
The fish yeah. head's a new thing. Yeah. I didn't know that that happened.
Yeah. I didn't know that part either.
One other quick one last night. Jimmy Garoppolo of the 49ers performed the way he did at quarterback simply so he could go in and see Dean Wormer. That was his yeah. passer rating. Yeah.
How'd it go? Not great.
Come on, man. He's going to be fine.
He's going to have to go date some more porn stars.
Yeah, he's got to get back in the game. Big Sis, what do you got for us?
Take it or leave it. The Fast Lane is a bunch of hypocritical phonies who put down... Yeah, put... That's right. Who put down soccer at every turn in the past, but now they say they can't wait for the first home MLS game.
Totally take it. 100%.
Yeah, I'll take it too. I still don't like soccer to this day. I'm excited about St. Louis getting a team, though. It could be good for the region. I think soccer's boring as can be.
I may not.
Yeah. That's generally the way we go about things.
I'm a hypocrite.
Oh, yeah. Oh, me too. Totally.
I am going to leave it. I think only part of this show is like that. I actually enjoy soccer.
Yeah,
I'm a big Hotspur fan, you know?
I will say this. Soccer is a sport, and we are in the business of sports. So if it's a sport, it's good for business.
That's right.
You never have too many sports in town.
I mean, I actually
grew up. We're not just calling it entertainment. It's a sport.
Yeah, because we're going to talk about it on a sports station.
Of course.
Probably not a ton, though, right?
Until we get the rights.
But then still.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just want to make sure. See what I'm signing up for in the future.
Take it or leave it. The listeners have never agreed with Chris Ranji more than on today's show.
Oh, totally. Take it. Yeah.
They've agreed with me a lot. They just don't realize it. That's always interesting when people say, I can't believe I'm agreeing with him. You probably have been this entire time. You just don't know it.
You know, Goose Gossage would call Cardinal fans today.
It starts with Blanken, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
Blanken Blankers?
I think so, yeah.
And then take it upstairs to the fat man?
That kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, because Goose knows. He kind of looked at the media that way, as at the writers that way. He kind of decided, you know what, I'm done with this. We're winning, and people just can't be happy.
And then he said, these damn launch angles.
Oh, he did that today. Bob Nightingale had a great story.
Yeah.
It's a valid point.
Negative blanker blankers. Yeah.
Do you think somebody was going, wait a minute, am I the fat man?
Who's the fat man? I was sitting upstairs earlier.
I don't want to be the fat
Surely
man.
Surely he's not
Everybody
talking about
knew it was Steinbrenner. Everybody did.
But Steinbrenner's like, come on, man.
That's that old school stuff.
Get it.
And take it or leave it. The new MLS team will be responsible for Randy Carricker getting new ink within 5 years.
Gonna leave that.
Leave it.
Randy sounds like a one tattoo kind of man.
Yeah. I don't think they're as addictive as other people do.
No?
Yeah.
It's not like with the MLS stuff, like you're happy it's here and all, but it's you haven't waited 50 years.
Exactly.
For it.
Yeah.
I don't see that happening.
No doubt about it. All right. Thanks to Big Sis, and thanks to you for texting in to the Hot Shots text line at 65780. Earlier today, I had a chance to talk to MLS Commissioner Don Garber, and we'll hear from him next on 101 ESPN. MLS Commissioner Don Garber is a hero in St. Louis today, delivering the MLS 28th franchise earlier this morning to the city of St. Louis. And after the press conference today, I had an opportunity to visit with the commissioner, and we found out about whether or not the new corporate sponsorship was a game changer for St. Louis.
No, I there were a number of things. I mean, we had a failed public vote here, you know, less than 2 years ago. And I've always believed, you know, soccer is an emerging sport in America, and it's not been an easy task. We've gone through our trials and tribulations over the last 25 years. And my approach has always been that failure isn't fatal. I mean, I believe in that in life. If you're an athlete, you must believe in that. You can't win every day. And when we lost the vote, we kind of looked at that and said, that doesn't mean St. Louis isn't right. It means we went about it the wrong way. And we needed to to huddle and take a different approach. And that new approach was to find the Taylor family, convince them to get involved. Jim Cavanaugh was involved in both projects, and he never wavered. And then all of a sudden, Carolyn Kendall Betts comes along with her sisters and nieces and said, you know what? I think we're going to lead this effort. And so many things came together along with the corporate support that I mentioned earlier. That was an unprecedented show of commitment for the city and for getting behind the MLS effort.
If this would have been the St. Louis effort 15 years ago, and this city is presented to you with this ownership group, with this stadium, would St. Louis have had a team 15 years ago because of the market?
I believe so. I believe so. I don't know that we would have had Andy and Jim thinking about Major League Soccer than the way that they do now. I mean, a lot of credit goes to our fans and our owners who've been driving this momentum that has led to growth, where now you have cities that are literally rolling out the red carpet, from corporate leaders to political leaders to, you know, big investors. That's because the league has shown, and its clubs have shown, value for the community. It's still a good investment as you start thinking about where growth in professional sports is going, where opportunity is heading. But it also has shown when you see some of the great things that are going on in our markets. You have 72,000 people coming out to Atlanta, and Kansas City selling out every single game, similar sized market. Portland taking over an old stadium and then putting $100 million into an addition. These are things that never could have happened 10, 15 years ago.
There were other soccer leagues that didn't make it. How has this worked for MLS? How has this popularity risen to the level that it's at now?
You know, I get asked that question all the time. It's not about us. It's about where soccer in America and Canada is. You know, the league has been able to ride the growth of the sport here in this region and be smart and focused about how to go and build a league around this groundswell of fan support that's led to momentum, driving media interest and corporate interest and investor interest. So we've been thoughtful about building the league, but it really is the movement that has driven the opportunity.
What impresses you most about the St. Louis market, aside from obviously a great ownership group, but over the years, what has impressed you about St. Louis as a soccer?
It's a team, it's a city with great soccer history. And there are not that many. You know, we've got to a lot of new markets where you got to sort of explain the game. And here in St. Louis, I mean, they know this game as much of anybody that's been involved in this sport. You think about the 1950 team, and you think about the fact that more than any other city, there are more members of the National Soccer Hall of Fame. You have a university that probably has more championships than any other, or at least rivals other universities. So the soccer depth is something that has always been interesting to us. But we never had an owner. We never had the right stadium location. I can remember this back in my earliest expansion efforts in 2005. People would say, "Where are you going? Where do you want to go?" I said, "We want to go to St. Louis." So, what do you need? Well, you need what we have now with the Towers and Cavanaugh's, and you need a great stadium.
One more thing: with back in the day, Anheuser-Busch was the go-to company here in St. Louis until they got sold to InBev. I'm sure you can see now how the Taylor family is kind of the go-to family here in St. Louis.
You know, they clearly are. I mean, I think they're the go-to family for the entire city, if not the state. And I think that's what's great about our country. You know, you have a successful family that now says, you know, yes, we're going to really focus on delivering on shareholder value and do great things with our company, but we're also going to use some of those resources to give back to the community. And we're fortunate that they decided to do that with MLS, because as I think the mayor and the alderman said, there are a lot of different things they could have done, and they decided to get behind MLS. Fortunately for the city, and certainly fortunately for Major League Soccer.
Quite a convergence when you talk about getting all of the, not all, but many of the politicians on the same page to get that public-private partnership, which is primarily a private partnership because the Kavanaugh and Taylor families are paying for most of it. But you've got public people that they're making a great effort to be diverse, which I think is really important. And I think Don Garber, we were talking during our last break about whether or not where this league can go. And I think Don Garber is a great commissioner for a growth league like this one.
Well, what I'm really curious about is what the ceiling for the league is in this country. And especially in our lifetimes, I don't know what it can be. maybe soccer gets to the point overall after we're long gone where it is, it's up there right with NBA, NFL. I don't know. I mean, I guess a lot of things can change. I don't know how it's going to go, but I do feel like it can be a major player where we're talking about it, not in the same sense you talk about the NBA or you're talking about Major League Baseball, but that league could take a share of the market, at least, where people around the country do take it seriously.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely could continue to grow. They've grown a lot already. But I think even if it doesn't take a foothold like that, it doesn't have to make a huge impact here and a huge impact on our city. You look at other MLS cities and how well they draw. We've talked about Kansas City, how great the game day atmosphere is around there and how much revenue is being brought in because of that. That's going to be here. It's going to be downtown. It's going to be right in your backyard. So even if the league itself doesn't take a stranglehold or maybe, never gets any higher than it is right now as far as popularity goes, it's still fine.
That's a really good point, is that it doesn't have to be on par with any of those other leagues to be a net benefit for this city. And that's really the main thing here. The league's not going to go anywhere.
Right.
Okay. It's going to be here. It's good for St. Louis, and that's the bottom line.
The last league, I just looked it up, to start up of the Big Four was the NBA 73 years ago. And I think we could argue that this is already ahead, MLS is already ahead of NASCAR and probably ahead. You think it's ahead of UFC? And do you think.
I don't know. UFC is really popular. I don't know. That's tough because. I don't know. When they have the big fights on a Saturday night, everybody's watching.
But the thing is, and that's true, but it's not a league.
It's different.
I'm talking about team, and I guess we have to leave NASCAR out of that too. So if we're looking at team sports, you probably have a big five right now. And MLS can take a share of they've already taken a large share of the market. And the sport that they compete directly with is baseball. They run from March through October, and that's when baseball runs. And they get so many kids. They've got such a young demographic in soccer. Baseball is going to have to do something to get more kids interested. And I think we're unusual since we're such an incredible baseball town and it's ingrained in us. But I think in some of the a city like Atlanta, I think the Braves will have to be careful and have to do things to cultivate a younger audience.
And I'd like to know what MLS will do, because my understanding is they're pretty pliable about their schedule and they're conscious of, the Blues playing and the Cardinals playing. I think as often as they can play on an off night for those two teams, the better off they're going to be. And my understanding is they try to do that.
Yeah, or have a Cardinal day game. And then an MLS night game.
Like, you have that doubleheader.
Yeah, and use that area that we're talking about that is essentially Market down to Ballpark Village or Clark down to the ballpark, and hopefully businesses will thrive because of days like that.
How about that? You go to a ball game during the day, just walk down a few blocks and go catch a soccer game at night.
Stop for dinner in between.
Would love it.
It's the Fast Lane on 101 ESPN. Now, BT has mentioned that he is not a big-time soccer fan. Well, with the MLS.
I'm trying, Randy.
Yeah.
Oh, he's going to get into it. Yeah. His kids are going to be into it, so he's going to go to a lot of games. He'll probably get season tickets.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. Probably.
might. Who knows?
So that's one of the questions you can ask is, hey, BT, are you going to get season tickets? Any question you might have for us, the Sports Six Pack is coming your way. Send your text into the Hot Shots text line, 65780. The Sports Six Pack is next on 101 ESPN. We do appreciate your text to the Hot Shots text line, 65780. Did you see they're bringing back the old Sunday Night Football song? I've been waiting all day for Sunday night. Carrie Underwood and Joan Jett are going to do it.
Oh, Joan Jett?
She's going to help, new into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, because she's the one that did I Hate Myself for Loving You, which is what it's taken from.
I served Joan Jett food once.
Did you?
Yeah, when I worked at Dick's Last Resort.
Was she
nice? She didn't talk to me.
Hmm.
I brought the food. It was some kind of pasta. And I gave it to her, and then her manager spoke to me. She didn't even make eye contact.
Oh, wow.
And then he goes, hang on 1 second. And he goes and gets one of her CDs, and she autographs it, and they give it to me. And I'm like, oh, thank you. for this Joan Jett CD that I'm never going to listen to, and
nice
I don't know where
Joan
it is.
Jett.
It really was very nice. Some eye contact would have been really nice, too.
Yeah.
Some
80s.
Acknowledgement.
No, you're not going to get
whatever.
That.
Big Sis, what do you got for us?
We've got a couple people that are really just one person that's not happy about the MLS talk on the station today.
I saw you clap back at him on the Twitter.
Yeah. Chill out, yo. So
get
the text.
Get over it.
The text was, can we get to good radio? Talking about a team that's not coming for 2 years or play for 3 years is old.
Already?
Come on, man. Old. It's a,
okay, what's the question?
It's a, there's a new league coming
They asked
town.
If
is
they could get good radio.
Oh, can we get good radio? No. I mean, probably not. Chances are.
Not if you're listening to us.
No, it's topical. I mean, we can give you some slapstick stuff. We could break some news on you every once in a while. Mm-hmm. I got some news for you.
What do you got?
Octavio Dotel. You guys liked him, didn't you?
Yeah.
2011, a big part of this bullpen. You, big part of the trade.
Yeah.
Arrested.
What?
Him and Luis Castillo, part of a big drug ring in the Dominican Republic. Yeah, not great. Not great. Apparently, they have been in cahoots with one of the biggest drug lords out there, Cesar Emilio Peralta, better known as Cesar the Abuser.
Ooh.
And Cesar was not captured by authorities, but Octavio Dotel and Luis Castillo, they in fact have been.
Trying to be an entrepreneur.
Do they have a turf war with Yuri Laterra?
I'm not sure. I don't know if they've crossed those lines.
Hmm. It's pretty impressive.
Yeah. Good for them. A hell of a drug.
Nate Newton,
Are
Sam
you not
Hurd.
Entertained, Texter? That's breaking news.
Turn on your
mic. Do you think Mizzou football should have made the preseason top 25?
They're number 26. I think they're okay there.
I do think
they should have.
If you get worked up about preseason polls, I mean, I guess good for you. You're very dedicated to it, but no, I don't. I think that if you just go out there, rattle off a bunch of wins and look good, and Kelly Bryant's doing what he's supposed to do, then you can shoot right up those things. You have plenty of opportunities. George is on the schedule. You have some opportunities to bounce if you
to. Yeah, Stanford is a pretty good team. They're number 25. Yeah. Nebraska, they're bouncing back under Scott Frost. They're 24. Washington State's good under Leach. Syracuse, Iowa State. I am not going to quibble with anybody that's in the top 25. Missouri can prove it.
Randy, when you're gone and BT and Ronge are driving the show, do you ever like kind of listen to the show at times, or do you just kind of separate yourself from it?
I didn't this time. Normally, if I'm out like for a week or so, I'll tune in.
Okay.
I want to know what's going on. Yeah.
So we had a texter ask if you heard the new home run call that was from Brad Thompson's career. Stephen Hawking.
Yeah.
I didn't hear that.
What we did is we asked people if, because of the Bill Walton doing the White Sox Angels series with Jason Benetti, or game, we asked who you would like to see in the booth calling a game, and somebody suggested Stephen Hawking.
Okay, I love that.
Oh,
yeah,
I'm
he's
glad.
Good. He's
everybody has a good time with that.
Yeah.
Well, it's because of Stephen Hawking. It's not because of you.
He's a little
anything.
Late on the analysis.
Yeah.
I mean,
a little late in general, isn't he?
Yeah. The late Stephen Hawking.
Yeah. There's a movie about him.
That's correct. I watched it.
Hmm. What? Do you remember what it was? 65780.
Imagination
no.
Game.
No.
Is that it? Was it The Brave Little Toaster?
It was something about universe.
Oh.
The word universe was in it, I think.
Stephen A. Hawking?
I don't know.
Deplorable. Deplorable.
Theory of everything.
Theory of everything.
Theory
That's
of everything.
It. I watched that too.
Why is Oktoberfest in September?
That is one of life's conundrums.
Because I think is it supposed to be welcoming you into October?
That's got to be the only logical
the only thing that makes
explanation.
Sense.
But
Here's
I always get
thing.
Geared up for Oktoberfest, and then I'm late.
Maybe
and
it's
also,
a different October because October is O-C-T-B-O.
Oh, that's true.
And Oktoberfest
With
is okay. Yeah, maybe it's different.
Or maybe October is completely booked.
That could be.
Every year?
Every year.
Can we not plan ahead for something like
this?
I'm a big fan of Oktoberfest celebrations. You know, the beer, the food, the beer. Just good, clean fun. But a great question.
Stephen Hawking only died on March 14th.
It's my birthday.
That's sad.
Yeah. Einstein was born on March 14th, and
really?
Stephen Hawking died on it. How about that?
That's amazing.
What does it all mean?
Probably nothing.
So for those that don't know, in the Rams' last season, Randy, you and Anthony Stalter were doing a pregame show, and mm-hmm. you had a question about the best coach in the NFC West.
Yeah.
You didn't put old Jeff Fisher on it. The Rams got a little mad about that. How would you rank the NL Central coaches, or excuse me, managers, right now?
Right at the moment, I think that I would rate... Maybe. I guess I'd still go Madden number one.
I'm going Schulte. I'm running it out in that order. In that order.
At the bottom is Clint Hurdle right now. His team's quit on him, right?
Yes, yep. And he's got a lot of fighting in the ranks, like literal fighting in the ranks.
Yeah. I'm not a huge Council guy. I think Council, I haven't seen him make his players better. I don't think the sum of the parts is exceeding the. I don't think the whole is exceeding the sum of the parts. So bottom to top, I think I would go Bell in the middle, Schilt two, and Madden one. Ronj?
I still have to go with Madden at the top, even though he's maybe going to lose his job after this year.
Yeah,
I think even if they win the World Series, he may not be back.
I could see that.
It's there. There's just a lot of oddness going on there. You know, I actually do like Mike Schilt. I don't think he does everything right, but none of them do. He seems to get along with his players. They seem to like him, as far as I can tell.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have evidence otherwise. I guess I put him second, and then everybody else in line.
Guys, we've got an answer on the whole Oktoberfest thing
that
everybody was thinking about, and we've come up with a bunch of different reasons, and they've all been, you know, some have been good, some have been off the wall. It turns out it's as simple as the weather's better in September.
That's good.
That's fair. Yeah, Oktoberfest in September because we can celebrate it.
And how should you measure success for the new MLS team in St. Louis for the first couple of years?
Off the field, do you sell out every game?
Yep.
And do you sell a lot of merchandise, just and are the fans
excitement.
Fired up?
Overall excitement.
Not going to worry much about on-field results.
No.
Yeah. What You're are they going to score? A goal a game?
Yeah. Although Atlanta, was it Atlanta that won in their second year or first year?
Maybe, Randy.
And Minneapolis had a really good first year, but it's hard to win with an expansion team unless you're Vegas.
Yeah. What are you going to do? Yeah, but it is. It's excitement. It's, are you able to step into the market and, you know, make your impression felt? I think that they will do that. I know they'll do that.
What's your favorite name for this team? I think it's going to be a traditional soccer name.
A lot of people don't want the FC or United or
I like the legacy.
Like
I love Bill McDermott's idea.
I heard a word in there when we had Jim Cavanaugh on that he threw out. And, I mean, he was talking about the history, but he used the word heritage.
Oh.
Write that down.
Heritage
STL. Just in case. I could see it.
That'd be great. Thanks for your text to the Hot Shots text line, 65780. Next up, as we roll on in the Fast Lane on 101 ESPN, we're going to take a little break from football and talk a little football. Patrick Daugherty of Roto-World next on 101 ESPN. You're probably getting ready for your fantasy football draft in the next couple of weeks, and we're going to give you some help. Patrick Daugherty of Roto-World is with us now on the Brown and Crouppen Celebrity Line on 101 ESPN. Patrick, with Brad Thompson and Chris Ronji, this is Randy Carricker. Thanks for taking some time with us. How are you?
I'm great. My pleasure. And I got to say, good job on nailing my last name. I think I'm 33. I think that might be the first time my entire life someone got it right on the first try.
How about that?
I mean, I don't feel like
it seems easy.
Patrick's not that hard.
Well, it's not that it's not that uncommon of a St. Louis last name, but I've heard probably approximately 200 different pronunciations of it in my life.
Wow.
Yeah, it's the first time anyone stuck the landing on Daugherty the first time. So.
What's the worst butchering of it?
I like sometimes they'll try to get like real Gaelic with it, like almost like they're back in Ireland, like Doherty, or like they won't intentionally be going for that, but they're so intimidated by like all like the different letters that they just kind of like drag it out. Like they're trying to like sound it out in real time. And yeah, I mean, I've just typically it's Doherty, which I don't even correct because it's close enough. And it is my family. We went with the harder pronunciation for whatever reason. But, yeah, I've heard it all.
Well, good start. Good start, Randy. Nice
Thank
work.
You.
All right, so Randy is a perfect example of this as fantasy season is kicking off. Once bitten, twice shy. Randy was a Le'Veon Bell drafter. I think it was the first overall or second overall pick, and he didn't have him last year. So now everybody's worried about other running backs that are holding out. Zeke Elliott, certainly Melvin Gordon. Where are you seeing these guys drafted? How are you approaching these guys?
Well, let me say Randy was not alone. I drafted Le'Veon Bell, number one overall in a number of drafts last year. And, you know, the holdouts are not as intense as they used to be in years past, kind of like the more structured salary on the NFL. So I was very taken by surprise by Le'Veon's holdout last year. Will not make the same mistake twice this year. I would say Melvin Gordon's a more serious holdout threat than Ezekiel Elliott. You know, Jerry Jones and his public comments, his interviews, you know, he can barely stop himself from like blurting out that we are going to pay you, Zeke. He hates to not have his star players in uniform, and kind of one of his signatures as an owner is taking care of his guys, quote unquote. And I would just be shocked if the Cowboys went into Week One without Ezekiel Elliott. Melvin Gordon's a slightly different situation. Zeke actually has 2 years left on his contract, which is another reason. It's just not as high temperature of a situation. But Melvin Gordon, this is a true contract year. Injuries had huge workloads, and I think he'll probably be more intense about holding out. I don't expect anyone to do the whole thing the way Le'Veon did. He's just kind of a different type of dude, and he had kind of a different situation where he had like truly mammoth workloads. But I could see Melvin missing maybe at least 2 to 3 games. He could be there too, but he's the more serious holdout threat. Zeke, I'm still comfortable with in the first round. Melvin Gordon would probably weigh more like the second, third, maybe in fourth. Really, I'm just kind of letting other people take him, to be frank.
With so much going on with Antonio Brown in this right now during training camp and then preseason and not wanting to play because of the helmet, well, now he apparently did practice with a helmet that he does actually like. Because of the way things went, is there any reason at all to be concerned about what happens with him this season, whether or not you should take him right away like you normally would?
Could be famous last words, but I'll say I'm not that concerned. Tell you what, Antonio Brown, for being one of the greatest players in league history, seems like very eager for people to forget that he's one of the best receivers to ever play. Just obviously one of the most bizarre off seasons in recent memory, but you know, has no legitimate reason to sit out. I'm not saying he's doing it just for the attention, but I don't know, maybe he wants to make a splashy entrance into Oakland. And but he has no reason to sit out. He will not sit out. The Raiders aren't going to try to punish him. They're not going to try to de-emphasize him in the offense. John Gruden is going to be very intent on proving this trade was the right move for the Raiders to make. And I'm not saying there won't be another controversy somewhere in the very near future, but we've moved past the feet. I'm fairly confident we'll move past the helmet. He is having another hearing on Friday. Hopefully, if he gets bad news in that, he takes it in stride. But he seems like to me he's just getting something out of his system. Maybe he just didn't want to take part in training camp. He will be out there week one.
Patrick Daugherty of Roto-World with us on 101 ESPN. Patrick, over the course of the last 5 days, the Patriots receiver corps has taken on a new look. The return of Gordon, the return of Julian Edelman, today the return of Demaryius Thomas. Do you find anything in that Patriot receiving core interesting?
I do. Julian Edelman he's had injury issues a lot in the past, but when he plays, he's one of the most highly targeted players in the NFL, no matter what. He kind of has like a mind meld going with Tom Brady. He's a great kind of fourth round pick in fantasy drafts. He doesn't have a super high ceiling, but he has a really high floor. He just always kind of hits, his level of production. Josh Gordon has the most upside of any of those players, but as we know, his downside is zero games played. There's always a chance, he gets suspended again in 2 weeks. Never come close to playing all 16 games. You just never know what to expect there. consider anything from him a bonus, but he can kind of be drafted as like a wide receiver three or wide receiver four, which kind of means in the, you let 35, 36 other receivers go off the board before him. But I love his upside. He could be like a, maybe not a league-winning pick, but he could be a really difference-making pick in the late rounds of drafts. Demaryius Thomas, he's 32, coming off the second torn Achilles of his career. He was activated today, but still not a guarantee he'll even be active for week one. So he's someone I probably will let go undrafted, but very interested in Edelman and still always intrigued by Josh Gordon.
Patrick, I know the Colts are optimistic about Andrew Luck, even though we've got like six different diagnoses on what exactly is wrong with him. Certainly an issue. They hope he's there. I'm interested in your take on Luck, but also if he's not right, how does that affect those around him? So as far as, you know, value goes, are you less likely to go after a Hilton or a Funchess? Are you more likely to go after Marlon Mack? How do you look at that whole situation there with the Colts?
Yeah, you're absolutely less likely to go after those pass catchers. The Luck situation, another truly bizarre. See, I don't know if I've ever seen a mild calf strain turn into what they hinted as a high ankle sprain. The tea leaves still suggest he'll be out there week one, but you know, the summer narrative for Andrew Luck, if he'd been healthy, would have been MVP favorite, not the favorite, but one of the three or four favorites. And now, you know, I read hundreds of football tweets every day. I'm probably the most up-to-date on Andrew Luck as almost anyone in the country, and I can't say for certain he'll be out there week one. And if he's not out there week one, T.Y. Hilton's a good enough player with Jacoby Brissett, even. He'll still have a big season, probably still be a top 14, 15 wide receiver for as long as Andrew Luck's out. But, you know, guys like Devin Funchess, who kind of struggled with Cam Newton a lot in Carolina, a rookie like Paris Campbell, those are guys who might need to be more elevated by kind of an elite quarterback talent. And Jacoby Brissett, he's a good backup, but he's not that. So if Luck's not out there, the only one I'll truly have faith in for the month of September would be T.Y. Hilton.
Patrick, do you think the new pass interference replay rules are going to affect the value of receivers in any discernible way?
I really don't, because especially not in fantasy, because people have lobbied for years that we need to come up with some stat for pass interference yards. Like someone like Jackson can end up with zero official receiving yards, but have drawn like a 70-yard penalty, and he comes away from the day with zero fantasy points. But the reason it just won't have a big effect is because it's still the same replay system. There's still a finite number of reviews and number of challenges you can issue. So it might make for more annoying moments in games, you know, as we're like sitting there with the Hubble telescope trying to discern like who hand-checked who. But so it could slow down the pace of play even more, but it's not going to fundamentally change anything, including in fantasy.
Finally, Patrick, give us a guy that you're loving in the eighth or ninth round, that sleeper that is going to be sitting there that Patrick loves.
I'm all in on Kyler Murray in Arizona, and something quote-unquote fantasy experts will usually do is wait on quarterbacks because you only start one of them, and it's such a deep position. But I think Kyler Murray is just a special prospect. He's probably the best dual-threat prospect since Michael Vick, at least since Robert Griffin III, and he enters the NFL. So in fantasy, running quarterbacks are extraordinarily valuable because rushing yards, rushing touchdowns are more valuable than passing yards and passing touchdowns. So they're always kind of viewed as like a cheat code, so to speak, in fantasy. And he's like a really rare dual-threat quarterback who we know is not only going to run, but is going to have extreme passing volume in that Cliff Kingsbury air raid offense. So even if he's not good in real life, even if he struggles in real life, we know he's going to run. We know he's going to throw the ball a ton. And he's just basically, to me, again, famous last words, a foolproof fantasy prospect. And, yeah, I'm truly a Kyler Murray basically on every one of my teams this fall.
Sounds great. Thank you, sir. Great to talk with you.
My pleasure. And, this was a big deal. You know, I'm like a local celebrity now to my friends and family for going on the fast lane. So, yeah, it was very much my pleasure. Thank you, guys.
We'll do it again, Patrick. We appreciate it.
We just make dreams come true around here.
Hopefully. Patrick Daugherty of Roto-World with us on 101 ESPN. Next up, from playing in the bigs to a Dominican Republic prison, life has quickly changed for two former big leaguers. That's next before, with all due respect, I'm